The time is 12 minutes past 5. Just tuned in. You are listening to Taking Care of Business here on Rise FM with Wandi Lemazibuko. Now, a new study into the retail clothing, textile, footwear and leather industry has found that more than 34,000 local jobs could be displaced by 2030. And that's if sure e-commerce platforms like your Shein, and I know the ladies going Shein, I like Shein, Temu, continue to grow their market share in South Africa. Now, the report reveals that in 2024 alone, Shein and Temu captured over 7.3 billion rand in South Africa's clothing sales, accounting for more than a third of the total online clothing spend. Now, this afternoon, I am joined, or proud to be joined, by Ishat Kathrada, who is the CEO of the Localization Support Front. Welcome, Ishat, to Taking Care of Business here on Rise FM.
Hey, good evening, Wandile, and to you and your listeners, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
This is worrying. I can hear all the ladies going, why not? But what did the Localization Support Fund commission? Why did they commission this particular study? And how does this support the objectives of the Retail Clothing, Textile and Footwear and Leather Master Plan?
Thanks, Wandile. So we commissioned the study for a couple of reasons, three reasons really, and how it connects to the as you say, the master plan for the clothing and textile sector. We wanted to understand the state of play of e-commerce. We know that e-commerce has grown massively, not only in South Africa, but around the world. And I think it was very important for us to just understand the extent to which South Africans are buying their clothing off e-commerce platforms, who are the key players, how quickly they've grown. I think the second thing we needed to understand is, what does this mean for the economy? What does it mean for jobs? What does it mean for manufacturing output? And then thirdly, what can we do about it? What are other countries doing? What has the South African regulators done already? And where is there space to do a little bit more? And I think this is important for our mandate and for that of the master plan in a couple of ways. You know, we were set up as a non-profit organization, a public benefit organization, to support localization of manufacturing and the economy. And we do this in a couple of ways. We commission a lot of research so that we can understand where are the opportunities, but what are the obstacles, and where's the space for regulators to close some of the gaps, but also what are the learnings that we can take away for industry here? And that's what we attempted to do in the study.
Now, Ishad, I mean, looking at this particular study, I mean, what are some of the key findings of this particular study and maybe outcomes as well from your roundtable, especially on these offshore e-commerce platforms, I mean, such as Temu and Shein? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Every time I look at it, I just want to shout out Shein as well. And the impact, obviously, on the retail industry here.
Well, Andrea, you touched on some of the findings. So the first one was, you know, what are the economic impacts? And, you know, we found already, as you said, more than 7 billion rand of clothing sales were captured by Shein and Temu last year. And this has had an impact already of about 8,000 jobs being displaced in the South African retail and manufacturing value chain. Now, why would that be? You know, traditionally, South African consumers, when they wanted to buy clothing, they'd walk into a store, what we typically call brick-and-mortar stores, which have a significant retail presence. So you'd walk in, they have sales staff that tend to your needs. But typically, a lot of those South African retailers are also purchasing their clothing from South African manufacturers. So at the moment, about 40% of all clothing sales in South Africa are procured from South African manufacturing facilities. So those are supporting manufacturing jobs. When you displace the South African retailers, these brick-and-mortar retailers, first with e-commerce platforms, and second now with offshore e-commerce platforms, you're no longer creating those jobs. They have a very thin logistics network in South Africa that doesn't employ nearly the level of jobs that would have been created by traditional brick-and-mortar stores. So that was a key finding that came out of this. Now, you mentioned it up front as well, that if the market share of these platforms continue unabated, so without checks and balances, we could see as many as 34,000 jobs displaced in the country. Now, there are things that can be done around it. And part of what we looked at in the study was, what are other countries doing? So the first step that South Africa took last year was to close out effectively a loophole in our trade administration, because these so-called small parcels, as they were coming in without paying the appropriate customs duties and also without paying VAT. And so they were exploiting a loophole that kept their products unfairly cheap versus domestic players. So SARS closed that out last year, and we're seeing that that's starting to have some kind of an effect on the propensity of South African consumers to buy off these platforms. But we've seen that, you know, other countries have gone much further, and I'll point out a couple of areas. So the first is in advertising.
Yeah.
I mean, if any of your listeners went online right now,
yes,
and they typed in a South African retailer like Pick and Pay Clothes or Woolies or Fashini, and they typed in an item of clothing like a T-shirt, the offering that they would get on Google isn't actually from that South African retailer. It's from Temu or Shein. And the reason for that is that these platforms have basically bought out all of the advertising space that you have on Google and on Facebook, which means that if a consumer is sitting at home in South Africa and they're looking for any item of clothing, they are directed towards these websites. Now, in France, they actually took a view. They thought this was unfair. And so they've banned these ultra-high fast flash fashion platforms like Shein and Temu from actually advertising at all in the country. In Turkey, they took a different view. They said, first of all, you need to have an e-commerce license, which means that it gives the government an opportunity to vet the players in the market and you know, to ensure that there's appropriate and responsible way in which they enter. But secondly, they put caps on advertising, which I think is an incredibly interesting thing that we need to be looking at in South Africa. I'll give you one last example, which we thought was quite interesting that came out of the research. India had actually banned the introduction of Shein into their economy unless they could commit to local sourcing. And after a 3-4 year period of negotiation, finally allowed them back in, but only once they had built up a local supply chain. Now, that's the view that they took in India. I think it's an interesting lesson for us in South Africa around what regulators can do. But I don't want to just stop on sort of what the regulators can do, because I think there were a lot of learnings that came out of the study around how we think industry can potentially respond. Because there's a lot that these platforms like Shein and Temu actually get right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was quite interesting is that they've developed a much more dynamic engagement with their manufacturers. So they use data in a very interesting way to communicate to manufacturers, you know, what do consumers want? What do they need? Where do they see the demand? So that those manufacturers can very quickly change their manufacturing, change the products that they're producing, and actually give them what the consumers want. Now, I find that that's incredibly interesting. And I think it's a good lesson for what we can potentially do in our own industry, because we can say we want to do local manufacturing. But of course, if we're not manufacturing what consumers want, then there's always going to be a disconnect, and our local guys aren't going to do as well as we would hope them to do. So a project that we're now doing off the back of this work as the Localization Support Fund is to work with retailers in South Africa and say, based on where you see consumer trends going, what would you want to localize? What would you want to buy from local manufacturers? And they've given us, you know, a fair number of product categories, things like denims and athleisure, but even your basic knits like T-shirts and golf shirts. There's a lot of that that can be done in South Africa still. Now, the next part of this work is engaging with the manufacturers, seeing who has the capacity, and helping them to redesign their manufacturing processes so that they can actually give the retailers and the consumers what they need.
Ishad, I think you've answered most of my questions, because I was going to ask you about the measures and what we can do to be able to do that, and obviously the policy and regulatory reforms that are needed. But I think you've said a mouthful there. Thank you so much for joining us here on Taking Care of Business. Please do enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Amazing. Thanks, Mandile. Thanks for having me on.
And that was Ishad Kathrada, who is the CEO of Localization Support Fund, speaking to us about the key findings on that offshore e-commerce and its impact on South Africa's retail industry. I think very, very concerning, some of the things that Ishad mentions there. I mean, 7.3 billion is something not to be sniffed at, especially if it's taking away from your local suppliers here. And obviously the jobs as well. And we need jobs in this particular country. And if this ultimately means that we're losing close to about 80,000 jobs, and I think for me that's a huge problem in as far as that is concerned. But yeah, very interesting findings coming through that, and I think a food for thought for everybody, especially in the regulatory environment, in the retail environment as well. And if you're an ordinary South African as well, I think you've got you know, some kind of concern there in as far as that is concerned. Coming up next, I'm going to be speaking to Sakina Ntuli, who is the King Prize's insurance spokesperson, and we're going to be speaking about the King Prize as financial consumer education, which started in actual fact this week, and we're speaking about how do you go about actually buying a second-hand car. Now, that should be a fascinating discussion, and that discussion comes up after this.
It's Roz FM, just taking care of business.